from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. We will have Take a Mania coming up at 9 o'clock. Our weekly segment where we take the worst takes we've heard this week and put them up against the current champion, who right now is John McClain. His take on the signing of Damon Arnette last week. We'll have the champ. We'll play the champ, and then we've got challengers, and we will see if. We'll see if there's a new champ. So the Texans have picked up a few guys on the defensive side of the ball. Not that they need a ton over there, but I do think it's interesting that there are guys out there that have been productive players, been decent players at other places that are looking. Look at the Texans now, Seth, I'm guessing, as a place, especially in the front seven, where I go do a one-year deal there and maybe I can get a bigger deal somewhere else. We've seen that work out for guys. Sheldon Rankins it worked out for. Now he's back here doing it again. He had a good one-year deal with the Texans, had a nice season, went and got more money with the Bengals, and that only lasted 1 year. Now he's back here. Two of those players we're going to hear from here right now. Darrell Taylor is one of them. He played for the Bears last year, and he's been a productive pass rusher at times in his career. He signed a 1 year, $5 million deal, $5 million and change with the Texans. And he was on Good Morning Football this week, and he said it is personal this year for him.
Man, it's personal this year because, you know, I feel like I left a lot on the table in Chicago, and, you know, I'm in a great place where, you know, the offense is, you know, going to do that thing. And, you know, we have a great coaching staff to, you know, be able to put me in position to be able to help our defense out this year and, you know, make a lot of plays. So I'm excited about that. So that's the reason that, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, playing with much of a chip on my shoulder than I ever played with. So I'm just excited to be there and excited to offer what I got, you know what I'm saying, my skill level to the Houston Texans, man.
He's got 24 and a half sacks in 4 seasons so far in the NFL.
In his second year in the league in 2022, he had close to double digit sacks. Nine and a half sacks.
Yep.
Really promising start. And then he's never really developed into a physical run player, but he's also, and it's ironic they started off in Seattle because I'm about to use Jason Babin as an example here. Jason Babin got drafted into Houston and was an outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. And it just wasn't – it never quite worked for him here. He ended up going to Seattle and playing in a 4-3 scheme at the time where he could just play defensive end with his hand in the dirt, and it was off to the races. He became a much better player, played at a few different places after that. At one point was a sack – one of the sack leaders in the NFL when he was playing – in a 4-3 defense that had a lot of similarities to this. When he's in Tennessee, that's kind of the roots of this current Texans defense.
Yep.
So likewise with Darrell Taylor, he's been on a 3-4 team and playing as like an outside linebacker type or just not always as pin in your ear backs and get to the quarterback the way they do with the Texans. So the scheme change might be really big for him. You might really get the best version of him in this scheme.
That'd be great. You know, we know Will's missed a couple games each year so far, you know, and you need a little bit of depth back there. Derek Barnett's
Well, no, they rotate. Whether you miss games or not, they're going to rotate the defensive linemen. Ideally, they want 8 guys on game day that could all play.
Yep.
So, yeah, he might be one of those sneaky X factors that people aren't talking about a lot that ends up having a big impact on in at least a few games this year.
Yep. EJ Speed. Another new player. Another player who signed a 1 year, I think $3+ million, can get to $5 million if he hits some incentives. But again, a 1 year prove it kind of deal for a guy who, you know, EJ Speed's been around the league even longer than Darrell Taylor. EJ Speed came in, I think, in 2019. So he's been on some decent Indianapolis Colts teams. He leaves Indianapolis after several years there to come to Houston. He was on with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris on Texans All Access and was asked, why the Houston Texans?
I like what was going on over here. The great draft pick in C.J. Stroud, of course. A lot of guys, younger guys who came into the league and, you know, probably wasn't expected to be who they are today is doing that here in Houston. So that just shows that it's a place where a lot of people is growing. Wins in the win column obviously speak for themselves. Been to the playoffs, you know, it's a team that's familiar with the playoffs, and just getting in and just, you know, finding my role within that situation where I can help and get to the end goal, which is a Super Bowl.
He mentioned C.J. Stroud first. It's not a big surprise. I think they have the same representation I think he's a Mulligetta guy, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But like that he mentioned CJ first, I think is I think CJ's probably a draw for a lot of guys that are looking around at the looking at spots to land.
Well, when EJ Speed and CJ Stroud were kind of going back and forth at it on social media, it was genuinely playful between those two guys. They're both friends. They get along fine. There was another part in this interview where he talked about specifically just how many different ways there are for different linebackers to contribute. And that's what I think he probably saw is that, A, it's a good defense. He's kind of in a prove-it deal. And that he's going to have opportunities to play even if he doesn't start, because D'Amico's going to want to use different packages for when to stop the run, when to, when can we get three linebackers on the field? Because they played with two linebackers, especially in the first part of the season last year, a lot. And some of that was due to injury, but also some of that perhaps not trusting the guys, the other guys that they had on the depth chart. But when they had to go up against heavy personnel, when they had multiple tight ends or a fullback, the Texans struggled to kind of match up physically.
Yeah.
So there's times they're still going to run nickel more than anything else, but there's times where you'd really like to have three run stuff and linebackers on the field. And EJ Speed is very, very good against the run.
Yeah, that's good. Here is EJ Speed. Why do you like playing for a former linebacker in D'Amico Ryans?
He does like to talk to you guys.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that he says just makes a lot of sense. Just because he's been in a situation, you feel what I'm saying? He knows the footwork. He's played in certain situations, knowing down and distance and all that type of stuff. So it's little interesting things that like he can just say to you. That's like, you know what? That does make sense, and it's actually applying on the field in certain situations. You know what I mean? Like a lot of stuff that some people just can't relate to.
Yeah, the thing that it popped into my mind when he was talking about that was Jamie Sharper, who came to the Texans in the inaugural year after winning a Super Bowl with the Ravens, was playing on that very, very good Ravens defense. But he used to tell me that Jack Del Rio, when Del Rio was the linebackers coach there, just completely changed the way he saw the game. Because Del Rio was one of those D'Amico type of linebackers that could just kind of see things differently and taught him exactly what to key in, what to care about, like what tendencies you could pick up and all of that. And you see a lot of that with D'Amico and his players. That's why Christian Harris, I think, took that big jump forward in the second half of 2023. I don't think he necessarily would have made that on a team where he didn't have a guy like D'Amico Ryans.
Probably not.
To teach him.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to San Francisco. You hear guys in San Francisco. That's why, I mean, Azeez Al-Shaair, that's why he's here. You know, he was a backup in San Francisco, and D'Amico was the linebackers coach there. So, yeah, he's got a long history of that.
They do have they've got an intriguing linebacker room because they've got a lot of guys that you get intrigued by, and that you can see them playing a role. You just don't know exactly what the role is going to look like. But even going back to Jamal Hill, the rookie from last year, he was very, very raw when he came in. But when you watch him out on the field, man, he's got size, he's got range. You know, there's a lot of potential upside there with Jamal Hill. That Neiman, the linebacker who's mostly a special teamer, and think of him more as a special teamer, but you'd like to see, okay, maybe he can develop more as a linebacker here in this environment.
Do you think a healthy Christian Harris just slides right back into his old spot, or has Henry Toa Toa done enough to where it's a super competitive situation?
I think it might end up being a little bit of mix and match with Azeez and Christian Harris, depending on how healthy Christian Harris actually is.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
And how suspended Azeez Al-Shaair is.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, like Christian Harris, in theory, you look at him, you think, man, boy, he could end up being one of these guys that's a three-down linebacker that's great in pass coverage and all the other stuff. He hasn't clicked, at least as of 2023, in the pass coverage side of things.
Yeah.
But that's something for linebackers, there's a whole big mental side to pass coverage.
Yep.
Because just by recognizing routes and using proper leverage and everything, that goes a long, long way.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Cushing always had better coverage grades than people expected because he wasn't the guy that you wanted to line up on a tight end and have him carry him all the way down the sideline.
Right.
But he was really good at playing the angles and pretty good at anticipating. So some of his physical weaknesses he made up for. But you got to, like Fred Warner, you watch Fred Warner break down film and everything. The guy just sees the game differently.
Yes,
he's a freakishly good athlete, but it's his ability to anticipate that makes him really good.
It's good, man. Couple guys. I mean, these are two guys, Daryl Taylor, EJ Speed, who we just heard from. They signed 1-year deals here to jump into pretty competitive rooms. You know, like it's a lot of confidence on their part to make the team, and then I obviously a lot of hope that whatever the magic D'Amico dust is on linebackers and defensive linemen applies to both of them. People weighing in on the text page, going back to Five Reasons I Hate You and expressing my disgust for Wrigley Field, particularly the troughs in the men's room. Text message, the best part of peeing in a trough is when they're filled with ice and all of you work together to melt the ice.
Melt the ice. Yeah. Yeah. No, and you do
it
feel
is a
little
team building
accomplishment.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you just, you know, you individually might be focused on one little cube of ice to
right.
see if, yeah.
Right. But I
always feel like ballpark urine doesn't have as much cutting power as normal urine because it's usually so diluted.
Very watered down. You know, yeah.
If you got four or five beers in you, that's not, you're not, it's not that bright yellow that you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and trying to melt an ice cube.
And that's borne out in the many YouTube videos that are out there of people deciding to headfirst slide through the troughs at Wrigley Field.
Oh, really? That's
yeah,
a thing?
That's a it's out there.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
Yeah, it's out there. Yeah, so it ain't that watery. Yeah.
What's wrong with you kids?
Yeah, I'm with you. The two, and yet I can't stop watching when I come across these videos. My two favorite videos involving some version of human function. The trough slides at Wrigley Field, and then the this is less contact level gross, you know. But at like the Kentucky Derby or the Indy 500, where they have those rows of portalettes on the infield, and people try to run across the top, like hammered, try to run across the top. You know, they're trying to run across like 50 portalettes, and you know they make it 20 until a foot gets stuck or it's raining and they slip and break their head open. That's really fun. You know.
Yeah, I want to see a sober person do it. I don't know how actually difficult it is. Give me one of those guys. Give me one of those martial arts guys from the movies that weighs 98 pounds and can just kind of glide over it.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing.
Yeah. How many?
I don't like watching anything where somebody might fall. I couldn't watch that. I couldn't watch that video of the guy falling on the ice rink at the Galleria.
Oh, I wouldn't have been able to watch the... did video of the actual fall come out? I haven't seen...
Yeah,
I've only seen the aftermath. Oh, really?
And it's exactly what I feared. I did watch it.
No.
Like, it was... I forced myself to. But it's... Like, he lands and the legs split out immediately.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing... You can't tuck and roll. Yeah. You got no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nasty. Some idiot falling off of a portalette, you know, like on a tuck and roll situation. I can deal with that. Now, that's another idiot. The guy in the Galleria is an idiot stealing glasses and jumping.
You've probably got a better chance of surviving a fall from that height when you're drunk than when you're sober, right? Your body's more relaxed.
The Galleria height or the portalette height? Oh, yeah.
Either of them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, alcohol helps with the pain, if nothing else, I would say. Yeah.
And your body is a little bit more related. You don't necessarily realize the danger you're
probably
in. The funniest part of Matthew McConaughey's book that he wrote, his autobiography or whatever it was when he talked about the time he got arrested in Austin. Because remember, he'd been playing the bongos naked for 18 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
He said he was in such a state of mind when the police arrived that in his mind, he was going to run towards the fence in his yard and then run up the fence
naked?
into like a backflip type scenario from the movies and then land behind the officers and then as they were chasing him, he was going to dupe them that way.
Dude,
it didn't quite work out that way in reality.
That's a frame of mind right there, man. All right, take a mania.
What about listeners? Okay, I'll
yeah, we got to yeah, we're up against it. Yeah, well, yeah, sounds good. Take a mania. Worst takes of the week, trying to take down the champ, John McClain. That is next.